Morning, everyone. Everyone have a good Christmas day yesterday? Yeah? A few sort of bleary-eyed parents, maybe. Everyone eat too much food, probably, you know. Just before we begin, I did want to let you know that I know some of us were hanging out for the Keep Cups to arrive, our church Keep Cups. So if you want to grab one after the service, we'll just sell them over in that office there. So they're a proper glass one, $20, which is what they cost us. But if you're looking for one to take away with you on the holidays, then there you go. Multiple colour combinations available. So anyway, I like every last Sunday of the year to preach a message called A Year to Be Thankful For. And so I plan that every year, regardless of knowing what that year will hold. I feel like that's a really important message for this year. A year to be thankful for. What a year it's been. It's been a challenging year for many people. One of the ways you know it's been an interesting year is if you get online and look at the memes that have been written about 2021, they all tend to have a rather strong theme. And so I just did a random sample on Google for you guys. So I'm going to throw some 2021 memes up to you. There's the first one. Next one, yeah. Next one. Remember, I didn't write these. Last one. Anyway, like I said, there's a certain theme that goes along with all of these, isn't there? That 2021 would have been better if it was skipped, that if we just didn't actually have it, so on and so forth. And here I am preaching a year to be thankful for. Now, saying that, I am well aware of the year that's been. In this room right now, there are people who, due to what I would call government tyranny, have been forced out of their jobs or to have a medical procedure they didn't want. I know of people who have lost loved ones, people who have been struck with illness, who have had a difficult year of marriage, have had their children walk away from Jesus, and on it goes. We've seen churches that have divided and split over some of the events of this year. Churches whom under worldly pressures have failed to shine like a city on the hill, but have more stooped in a valley of darkness. So saying that, why do we call a message on the final Sunday of the year a year to be thankful for? And it's simply because it is. Each and every one of us who is a follower of Jesus should be filled with thankfulness. So we're going to look at a passage of Scripture which is going to explain to us why, even at the end of a year like 2021, we can and should, in fact, be thankful. All right, so we're going to open our Bibles, if you have them with you, to Colossians 3. We're going to read 12 to 17. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. You never know, Sonno might get it up there for us. Oh, now I've put the pressure on him, look at him. I don't normally... Sorry? I know he was, but it's Christmas. Now, anyway, Colossians 3, 12 to 17. All right. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. All right. So the first thing we need to note about this passage is that it's talking about dressing up. Now, maybe, did anyone here, it's a safe space, you can admit this, did anyone get a sort of Santa outfit or something on over Christmas? Anyone? Oh, there we go. There was James Marsden, everyone. No, okay, so, you know, people dress up for different reasons. Well, what this passage is actually saying is that as Christians, there are clothes that we are meant to wear. So this is the analogy that we're being drawn from here in Scripture. So as Christians, there are clothes that we are meant to put on. So according to our passage, as God's chosen people, as Christians, then the clothes we put on, the uniform we put on, in a sense, are the things of Christ. Now, if you go back and read the passage in context, which we always should, it goes through and looks at what it looks like to dress in the ways of the world. So it goes through some of what worldly clothes look like, and then it moves through and looks like what it means to put on the clothes of Christ. So it brings us to five things. What are the clothes of Christ that you are meant to put on? Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now these are all individual attributes that as a Christian, you are meant to put on in Jesus. Now, when we become a Christian and we're set free from the power of sin and slavery and death and all of these things, we're granted these things in Christ. But at the same time, despite them being granted and given in Christ, despite the fact the Holy Spirit is in you and molding you into Christ's likeness, at the same time, we are also commanded to put them on. In other words, yes, you are being made by the Spirit into the image of Christ, but you are also required to put effort into clothing yourselves in the things of Christ. So it's a gift, but it also requires effort. Clothe yourselves. It's a command. Put on the attitudes of Christ. What were they again? We saw them. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. You know, the first way 2021 is a year to be thankful for. What a great year for testing and growing these things in your life. Right? A tough year for many. What a time to see and test and grow in a compassionate heart. What a year to test whether or not you've put on Christ's clothing of kindness. 2021, a good year for Christians to see if we're kind? You bet it was. What a chance for us to see whether or not we've put on kindness. What about humility? What about patience? See, when things are easy and everything's going well, it's often harder to see what clothes we're wearing. But when someone close to you is really pro the vaccine and your brother and sister in Christ is anti or vice versa, well, then it's a great chance to see just how well you've put on compassion, kindness, humility, and patience. Isn't it? Right? 2021's been a great year to see whether or not we are putting on the clothes of Christ or whether we've put on the clothes or kept the clothes of judgment, self-righteousness, power, and impatience. What a year to reveal just what clothes we wear. Are we growing in these things? Are we individually, each day, putting on the clothes of Christ? But our passage doesn't stay there. It lists these kind of five individual attributes, which I think we would all agree we should be putting on and we should be growing in as Christians. But of course, the rubber hits the road. They find their testing, they find their reality in the context of community, don't they? I mean, it's all easy to be patient and kind on your own, right? True? It's really easy to be kind on your own. Should I have another Christmas treat? Yes, I think I will. I'll be kind to myself, right? It's not hard. These things get tested in the fire of community, which is why our passage moves on. Have you put on these five individual clothings of Christ, but then it applies them to our community. So note what it says. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Right? The context that these things work themselves out in is in this community. I love that bearing with one another. You know, the other way you can translate that is putting up with one another. Isn't that a great way? You didn't think the Bible said that about your brothers and sisters at church, did you? Put up with one another. What does that mean, put up with one another? It means that in the context of the church, somebody could be acting in an immature or tiresome fashion. And it could be you or me, right? This happens in church, doesn't it? Doesn't it? We're not going to pretend here that we're the perfect church, guys. Sorry to those online, we're just not. Right? Somebody acts immature, somebody acts tiresome. And what does the Word of God say? That if you are clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, then you will be able to bear with one another. If you are clothed in the things of Christ, then you will be able to walk alongside of an immature brother or sister, and you will be able to love them, to bear with them. Amen? So these individual clothes of Christ that we put on find their home, in a sense, in community. I'm really serious when I say this, but you should thank the Lord for your brothers and sisters who have tested you this year, who have made you bear, put up with, because they're revealing to you whether or not you have the patience of Christ or whether or not you still need to grow in that way. But it goes further, our passage. It goes a lot further. It starts with saying you've got to be able to bear with, but it goes to saying not only do you bear with, but when someone has genuinely hurt you, then what do? How do we handle that? And here is what our passage says in a very succinct fashion. I'm going to expand it slightly. The Bible tells us that you have sinned against the Almighty God. Each and every person, every evil thought or deed that does not accord with the glory of God, each and every single stray thought is an offense to God, and God's penalty for each and every thought that was not held captive to the glory of God, the penalty for that is death. In fact, it goes further. The Bible says anyone who knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it sins. I love that verse in a really horrible way. Because I think about that one verse and I'm in so much trouble. Can you just pause for one moment and just in your own mind think about that? Anyone who knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Just think about yourself at home for a moment. Any time ever at home, was there something you knew you should do and you just chose not to do it? Anyone? Maybe? Yeah, you know. Everyone, every day. And the penalty of sin is what? Death. So the Bible wants you to understand just how much your offense is against our holy and righteous God. If we just focus in on that one thing, we are in so much condemnation. In fact, to deal with your sin, the Father had to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross, to suffer and die in your place, because the Father couldn't simply ignore your sin, because then He wouldn't be just. No, a penalty had to be paid, and Jesus paid it in your place. Jesus sacrificed Himself for your and my sinful thoughts. So our passage says, if you have experienced the forgiveness and grace of God, if you know that your sins are in fact innumerable and the cost was Jesus Himself, how can you slam that forgiveness in God's face and refuse to forgive someone else? That is what our passage is saying. If you've experienced the grace and forgiveness of God, how can you not forgive your brother and sister who cannot have offended you in anywhere near the way you've offended God? You must forgive. Now, I accept forgiveness is a process. Some offenses take a long time to heal. But to forgive is a command. We must work through a process of forgiveness because we know what Christ has forgiven us. I also know, and this gets brought up to me sometimes, some sins have lifelong consequences. We may commit a sin that the law requires a penalty for that lasts until the day we die. That's okay. The Bible says the world has the right to exercise those authorities and judgments, but that's separate from the fact that we still find forgiveness because Christ has forgiven us. Okay, we must come to that place. So bear with, put up with, forgive as Christ has forgiven you, but again, it doesn't stop. It doesn't then let up and tell us that we're all good. It says no. Above all of those things, the thing that holds all of this together is that we must love. Put on love. Live in the love of Christ and give His love to others. The church that bears with, forgives, and loves is a church that is truly honoring what Christ has done on the cross for us. Right? This is the passage. This is how it, so put on these five things of Christ, these five attitudes, and then apply those five attitudes to the body of Christ, and let those attitudes leave you to bearing with, to forgiving and loving one another. If we do that individually and we apply it together corporately, then what impact does that have in this church of brothers and sisters in Christ? And that's where we get to in verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of Christ will rule in your hearts. How good is that? Thinking about the year that's been, thinking about the memes that we put up earlier, and the Word of God says, for those who dress in the clothes of Christ and apply it to one another at church, the peace of Christ will rule in your hearts, even in a year like 2021. And those peaceful hearts are called to one body with Jesus alone as our head. Dressed in Christ's clothes, applying these things to one another in love. And the result is peace. Isn't that amazing? That in a year like 2021, the result should be for the Christian, peace. Peace together, peace in your own heart, unity in the love of Christ. Side note. Churches that have divided or split this year, who are not at peace, here is their problem. They've skipped one of the first parts of the passage. The reality is someone's not putting on the clothes of Christ. Some are not bearing with one another. Some are not offering forgiveness as Christ has forgiven them. If there is not peace in the hearts of the body, the question is not what have other people done, but what have I done? How do I apply the grace of Christ to my heart and to the church? See, this past year has been a great year to reveal the heart of the church. This year has not created division in the church. It's just revealed hearts in churches that aren't centered on Christ and are centered on something else. The church anchored in Christ will be at peace and thankful regardless of the trials and struggles it faces. This is what our passage is telling us. We will be characterized as thankful people. We will be known as thankful people. A people who at the end of 2021 feel enormous thankfulness to God because He has brought us peace. He's brought us forgiveness. He's brought us compassion and kindness and humility in the midst of a year like 2021. It brings us to thankfulness. For Jesus has been on His throne this year. Amen? His forgiveness is still completed in Christ. Our life with Him is eternal. And we have peaceful and thankful hearts. Being a church filled with thankfulness and dressed in the clothes of Christ, Paul then tells us what it looks like when we gather together as the church. That's the flow of our passage. So when we are that church, when we are living in the peace and love of Christ, what should it look like when we gather together? So verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This peaceful, thankful people clothed in the clothes of Christ. When we gather together in our corporate gatherings, we will keep the Word of God front and center. We will keep the good news at the core of what we dwell on. See, that's what our passage is actually telling us. We might talk about current political events. We might talk about pandemics. We might talk about how Parramatta doesn't seemingly have any players left for 2023 season, which I'm a little worried about. But anyway, that's an aside. But if our dwelling becomes those things, then we are in trouble. I meet people at the moment, and COVID and or the vaccine have taken a hold of their heart. They are dwelling on it and not the good news, and it is consuming them. I have a conversation and they can tell me all about the COVID response and statistics in Italy or South Africa or Costa Rica. I don't know. They can tell me stuff that's going on all around the world, stats and figures about all kinds of stuff and studies that are going on. And they talk to me about spike proteins, which must be something to do with volleyball. I don't know. But anyway, they want to tell me about all of these things with all these numbers and figures and information from all around the world. But in all of this focus and study, the dwelling in COVID and not dwelling in the Word of God. And we are told here that the Christians who are clothed in Christ, who are doing these things, will let the Word of Christ dwell in them richly. In other words, it stays the focus. It stays the thing that unites us, and it stays the focus of our mission, which is to proclaim the good news and tell people about the death and resurrection of Jesus, regardless of what's going on in the world. Amen? Amen? Unfortunately, there's a temptation to dwell on things which are not the Word of God, and that is a tragedy. That is a tragedy. Let the word dwell richly, teaching and admonishing in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing. Teaching one another the word of God and admonishing one another. Who here likes to be admonished? Yeah, no one's putting their hand up. Oh, there you go. Got one up the back. I'm not going to names there, but most people don't like to get admonished. Told off might be another way of saying it, rebuked. How can we be somebody that can be, though, if we put on the clothes of Christ? Note what they were: humility, kindness, patience, compassionate hearts. The church that dwells in these things can actually correct one another in the love of Christ, can they not? And don't we all need it? Don't we all have things in our life which still aren't being brought into alignment with the Word of God? But the church that puts on the clothes of Christ and loves one another and lives in the Word of God is able to admonish one another. In all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. No, why does it say with thankfulness in your hearts to God? Because when you were singing these songs this morning, it's heart worship, not lip worship. Right? Do you get what I'm saying? That these truths, as we dwell in the Word of God, it's heart thankfulness, not lip thankfulness. The words that we sing are meaningless if they're just words. But if we're clothed in the things of Christ and we're loving and forgiving our brothers and sisters and we're dwelling together in His Word, then it's our heart that expresses thankfulness when we sing psalms and hymns and psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, psalms. That would be if I led the worship. No, anyway, right? So that is what we've got to remember. It's about the heart. It's a thankfulness that is rooted in the grace of Jesus that 2021 could not shake. And so our worship is joyful, kind, caring, loving from the heart because of what Christ has done. And then we finish on verse 17 by realizing through the peacefulness and thankfulness and Christ, all of that goes even further, though, than our gathered service. And that's what Paul wants to bring us to. We've dressed in the things of Christ, and that enables us to love and care for one another, to forgive one another. And that enables us to center on the Word and rebuke and encourage and help one another on our Christian journey, which results in what? It results in Christians who are then able to take their thankful, peaceful hearts from the church into a community that's been in strife. We're able to take the peace and love and compassion and kindness and humility outside these doors and into our community and bring good news. That's what verse 17 says. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. See, everything that we've done, the clothes of Christ, the unity we have as a church, the focus on the Word, it's changing you and molding you into the image of Christ so that when you go out into the world, when you travel on holidays this year, whatever you do in word or in deed, everything you do will be done for the glory of Christ, giving thanks to the Father through Him. The peace and thankfulness and calmness you have in Christ that the world doesn't know during a pandemic, you can shine the light of that this Christmas. You can take that with you out into the world. Whatever you've got planned for this Christmas break, whether you're staying here in Bundy, whether you're traveling, whatever you say or do, you can represent Christ and the thankfulness you feel for all that He has done for you. Let that peace take you into the year ahead. Your response to this year, our corporate response to this year, simply reveals whether or not we have been clothed in Christ. And it's seen by the peace we have, the thankfulness we have, and our ability to forgive and love one another. If that's not been you this year, Maybe you've caused division instead of peace. Maybe you've been in turmoil and not had a thankful heart. If that has been you, it's easy. You just need to repent. Come back to putting on the clothes of Christ. Let your focus on Jesus lead you into humility where you can ask forgiveness. And then come again together in peace, love, and thankfulness. And enter 2022 as a light in the darkness of this world. Foolishly, Steve mentioned, many people at the end of 2020 thought 2021 might be really different. There is no reason for us to think that 2022 is going to be particularly different. There'll be new strains of a pandemic. There'll be political turmoil, as there always is. There'll be New South Wales winning the Origin again. Yes. My point is, put on the clothes of Christ. Bring that to humility as we gather together next year. Let the thankfulness overflow and fill your heart. And let that carry you into the community to share the love of Christ. That will never change. Amen? Let's pray.